Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach, Gus Bradley. And Gus, isn't it always nice to have a week of preparation following a victory? I was going to use the term win, but I said, wait a minute.
Winning's good, man. Winning's good. No, it is great. It is great, you know, to come off a game like that and then celebrate it and watch the tape and learn from it and then get right back to work. That's really been our motto here this week. We've got a lot of work to do in preparation.
What are you most proud of?
Well,
in that game,
because there
was a lot to be proud of.
Well, I think that you look at how we handle adversity, and we say we play hard. You know, that's one thing you hear comments and you see it on tape, and it stems back to Chris Clemens the week before blocking the field goal, and then to carry that over in the next game and play as hard as we did all phases, and then to come back from adversity, because I didn't think we did a very good job the first week of that, mm-hmm. and to see us take big growth steps in that area, I think was what we're most excited about.
Yeah, having played the game, the thing that really impressed me was at the end of that game. I mean, you've got numerous guys that are cramping or dinged up, banged up, whatever it is. The ones that said, you know what, I'm going to be there. I don't care. You're going to have to take me off this field. I'm playing. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, guys going in and getting IVs and
that
coming
warrior
out.
Mentality.
Yeah, warrior spirit, man. It was cool to see. But let me tell you this. I don't think I mentioned this during the week as much as I should have, but our fans now, it was loud.
It was good.
Oh, it was great. And the players just fed off of it, especially at the end. And you could see, sometimes as a defense, we talk in terms with Coach Babich about, hey, if we're playing base and you don't feel the spirit, blitz them. Get them going. It'll mm-hmm. uplift them, and they'll just have a different style of play. Well, our fans did that. You could see the team and the defense really took on the style of our fans and how they were yelling and screaming. Great atmosphere.
Bob still blitzed them, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. He did. And it was good. It was good.
Yeah, it's one of the guys in the second half, Aaron Colvin is fighting with cramps. Devon House couldn't finish the game. He had four backups in the secondary. Great job. And to me, I'm not trying to make your head big, but when you have backups that come in and perform at a high level, and if you just ignored the numbers and you don't know who's in the game, but the performance never drops off, I think that's a credit to good coaching.
Well, yeah, I mean,
whether it be Peyton Thompson or
right,
James Sample, it didn't matter.
Well, it's everybody's involved. The players are involved. I mean, for those backups, that's a tough position to be in. And you say you're one play away, but are you? And to go into each week and have that mentality so when your number is called, you're ready to go. So first goes the credit to the players. And then second of all, the coaches, not just to coach the starters, but to really help everybody and get everybody ready. And so it was a big combination of a lot of efforts, and it helped us enough to where we could pull it off.
I'm trying to think. At the beginning of the game, did you win the toss? Because I don't remember how the toss went. You lost the toss.
Yep.
If you had won the toss, would you have taken the ball anyway?
I can't say that. Logs, right?
Well, it's a real question because I think it worked out perfectly.
This game, we deferred. We would have deferred. Yeah.
Okay, you would have deferred. I would have loved to see, if you did win the toss, to put your offense right out there, out of the gate, with an offense or side of the ball that is hungry to get back out on the field after the previous week. Because the job that they did on that first drive and the methodical way that they drove down the field, the performance of your quarterback, the performance of the offensive line, that made probably as big of a statement as you could have had in that ball game was that first drive.
Yeah, it's always, you look at the team you're playing and when you want to gain the possession and, with the coin toss. And it did work out great. It's exactly our offense. I mean, they were focused, and it was a good kind of focus. I do believe the first game everybody was focused, but they were so amped up that I think it affected our performance some. Well, this game, it wasn't like that. They were excited. They were, couldn't wait for this opportunity, but they played with a certain poise. And I think that's the message to our team. When we play with poise and we just allow our skills carry over from practice to the game, you know, then we can do some good things.
Well, the offensive line, you know, early on, Sam Young had the spin move that Olivier Vernon had. And Olivier Vernon's a good football player. I mean, those plays happen. But after that, I thought the job that Brandon Linder did against Ndamukong Suh, that was a marquee matchup, and a lot of people were paying attention to that. And then I got to point out Wisniewski. Stefan Wisniewski, I thought, from watching the film, did a tremendous job and a couple times saved the guy next to him and played with great effort and probably played his best game that I have seen him yet do here in Jacksonville.
Well, what I like about Wiz, too, is his nastiness. You know, that was one of the things, you know, in our conversation was he manages the offensive line. He controls it. You see him take charge of it. And then to play with a certain level of nastiness, too, at that position, I think, you know, is really starting to be seen. So, yeah, it really the whole offensive line did a really good job. The protection plan that we had in place. And like I've said before, sacks sometimes because of not just the offensive line, sometimes the quarterback, the running back. Well, in this case, I mean, those all get credit too for no sacks in a game. They all had their play.
How much credit of the protection, excuse me, and zero sacks allowed also should go to Greg Olsen? Because one of the traits last year that Greg Olsen had in Oakland with a young quarterback and Derek Carr was that he protected the quarterback very well.
Yeah, he did, and that's, you know, one of the things that I think I gravitated towards Greg in the interview process because he had a plan and his protection plan and how to utilize it. But, you know, he did a good job, both him, Doug Marone, Luke Butkus, I mean, really the whole offensive staff did a nice job setting something up, and then it really comes back to the players and executing the plan.
Well, and going back to one player in particular, I remember talking to you after the game, the one guy that your eyes kind of lit up when I brought him up was Allen Robinson. You know, the week before he has the drop, he's got a knee, but this week he's playing. He doesn't look like he slowed down at all. And the balls that he caught where it was a competitive situation, a lot of times people call it a 50-50 ball, whatever. The plays that he made and how he showed dominant traits, which we saw in training camp, and the OTAs, that when he was competing with Aaron Colvin or Devon House or Demetrius McCray in training camp, that's what we saw.
Right, and that's you know, that's why, you know, that first game where there were some drops for those guys, we didn't see that too much in training camp or even in OTAs. And, you know, to see those guys come back and just really, you know, learn about playing in a heightened environment and what it takes to showcase their talents. And they did it. And, you know, that's very exciting to me, and I was very happy for all those guys.
With your quarterback and his performance, I believe it's his first game that he's had over a 100 rating as a quarterback. What did he do the best? As far as when you look at him from preseason and game number one, what's the one area that he clearly took a step up in game two?
Well, you know, one of the plays that stood out was the long pass to Allen Robinson. He made that check based on what he saw defensively. They talked about
the touchdown or the 50-50
ball? The touchdown.
Okay.
The touchdown. So, I mean, they anticipated they might see it. He made the check. He changed the front or the protection series. He brought in the tight end to help in the protection. He gave a signal, you know, to Allen Robinson. You know, it was unique. We don't normally do it, but it was a, you know, opportunity that this game presented, and we hit it. And, you know, for Blake to manage everything like that, what a great step. And then also the poise. You know, he came back, and it really was a tribute to him. Even the, you know, the 2 minute with 18 seconds left, you know, we said we're going to be bold and almost threw a pick. And you saw him. He bounced back the next play. He quickly recovered, hit T.J. Yeldon, and then gave a catchable ball opportunity to Marquise Lee, which, you know, we got the penalty on.
All right. So let me just stop you right there just for a second, because when you talk about that long ball to Allen Robinson, I'm going to look at that tomorrow on Jaguars.com film room Friday, because in order for that play to happen, you remember when I was talking about Wisniewski, how he actually blocked? That was the play that I was talking about. Because he actually blocked, it was kind of a game between a linebacker and a defensive tackle, and he actually blocked, I think it was the defensive tackle or linebacker, and blocked him and Zane Beatles down to the ground, and then picked up the guy that was looping that allowed Blake time to make that long throw on that play.
Right, so many factors. I mean, you look at that one play, it is unbelievable. Just everything that took place, the check, the protections, the execution, And, you know, it was very well-run play.
All right, now let me go to the second point I wanted to make. The 18 seconds left to go at the half. You talk about how you're giving Blake Bortles credit for being bold after nearly throwing the interception. I gave you guys as a coaching staff credit because there was a lot of coaching staffs that would have seen that and said, oh, we don't want that to happen. I would have said, you know what, let's just take a knee right here. You didn't do that. Because, I mean, you got a young kicker, even though that you know, a lot of people are questioning what he could do, but you have a young kicker that you say, hey, look, if we get him somewhere around 60, even 65 yards with an opportunity with 1 second left at the half, we got a chance here to score 3 points.
Right. I think, you know, you pick and choose your times, you know, and when to go for it and maybe when to take a knee. I just felt like at that time, that's the message we wanted to send our team. We're going to be bold. We're going to be aggressive. And let's go for it. And you know, we want to show confidence in our guys. And then even after the possible, you know, missed interception, you know, then I know a lot, hey, okay, let's take a knee and let's go in. But the whole message the whole week was how we quickly recover. When adversity hits, can you quickly recover?
Mm-hmm.
And to take a knee after that and miss that opportunity.
That would have sent the wrong message.
Sent the wrong message to a team. So it was like, no, Blake, we got faith, you know, let's go. You know, quickly recover and let's move on. And you're going to learn from this. And you know, it worked out. It's a blessing. It worked out. Very fortunate, but great message. You know, to Blake and his poise, and he did quickly recover. And again, credit goes to him and really the whole offense.
What did that drive do for the locker room going into halftime?
It was good. The locker room was great. It wasn't, you know, jumping up and down. It was more, okay, here's where it is, here's the situations, and here's what we got to do. It's a short period of time in there, so you got to get a lot accomplished in a short period of time. But I'm sure it helped with the confidence coming out in the second half.
All right, well, let's take a break. And, folks, kiss game day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. There are 5 convenient park and ride lots to choose from for Jaguar games. Tickets start at just $7. Visit JTAFLA.com for more information. More to come right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
This segment of the Gus Bradley Show is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach, Gus Bradley. And Gus, I guess I should pull it up. The injury report today is long for you guys. Some of the known names that are on there, Luke Jokel, Julius Thomas, Denard Robinson, Andre Branch, and Derek Marks, Jonathan Cyprian, and then all of a sudden two guys pop up on the injury report. Brandon Linder, who was reported that got hurt yesterday in practice, and then Alan Hearns, I guess, was it today in practice. Wow. I mean, it's week 2.
Yeah, it is. You know, and injuries are a part of it, and that's why you have 53-man roster and 10 on practice squad. And you know, it's very evident last week we needed guys to step up when they had their opportunity, and guys did. And you know, it'll be no different this week with some of those injuries that are taking place. It gives guys opportunities, and a guy like Sam Young, all of a sudden there's a story that took place. You know, everybody's so excited, coaching staff, players, about his opportunity and how he took advantage of it, and Peyton Thompson and guys like that. So, you know, if all these injuries stay true and we are missing some of these guys, it'll create opportunities for other guys.
Everybody wants to know. I mean, Brandon Linder, you know, the week after having a very good performance against Ndamukong Suh, you know, he's obviously a marquee name on the billboard. How is Brandon Linder?
Well, he's doing pretty good. He's, you know, I'd say he's 50-50 right now. You know, we'll have to take a look at it and see how he progresses with this injury and you know, see if it gets his strength back and then go from there.
And then the other one this week, Rashad Green goes on the designated to return injured reserve list, which I think puts him basically available after the bye week. Is that right?
Yeah.
Thumb, ligaments, surgery required.
Yeah, and so on his thumb, so... Yeah, he'll be out 8 weeks, and then but he'll be able to practice with us in 6.
Okay, that's good. And then with him, also, Alan Hearns, what was it, a contusion or something of that nature?
I think it's, you know, for him, he's pretty good. I think he'll be all right. We held him out more precautionary today. you know, just a hip flexor type deal.
And with Rashad Greene going on the designated return injury reserve, you bring back Brian Walters, who also has some punt return experience and wide receiver. I mean, you can't sit there and deny that Brian Walters in the preseason did a great job at catching the football.
Yeah, very trustworthy receiver. Did a nice job. Remember our call last week, right?
I was thinking of that call on Saturday when it came across the wire that you guys had released Brian Walters, and I can't remember the lady's name, but she called
Carolyn.
Carolyn. And I was sitting there going, Carolyn is not going to be happy with Gus today.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, we got him back, and, you know, we're fortunate. He knows the system. He understands it. Did a really good job for us. Has the ability to be a punt returner as well. So two areas Rashad was doing really well in. You know, we've got a player back that can help fill some of that void.
With the other guys, that the kind of known injured guys, just to kind of get a little update on them, let's start with Julius Thomas. What are the doctors saying? They saying he's, is he progressing great?
Yeah, he is. He's doing a nice job progressing. He's out there now running around, you know, and when we're in some team segments, he goes off to another field and runs routes. And so, yeah, he's doing a nice job. I believe he goes back Monday for another checkup, mm-hmm. and then we'll find out more.
Okay, Sendarek Marks.
Sendarek.
We talked about him at length last week, and that, you know, part of this process is to get back and doing football things as part of the rehabilitation. The one thing you never want in that situation, I've been through an ACL reconstruction, is you don't want any setbacks.
Sure. And I think last week that was tough. You know, here he is putting the pads on, going through individual, and maybe, you know, found a couple areas that, hey, these are the areas I need to strengthen. And that's tough. You know, you want everything to be so good. So not really a setback, just more probably understanding where he's at. Now this week had a good practice, had a couple good individual sessions, and you know, I think it's coming along pretty good.
That's one thing that I remember very, very vividly. 1992, tore my ACL. So coming back in 1993, you know, and you do all the rehab, and you're doing the strengthening, and you're doing the running drills and the activities, you know, the bags or working on air, and then you put the pads on. And then you start doing movements that aren't anticipated, and you have to react, and you have to react with power. It is totally different.
It is, and that's one of the reasons why we didn't put him on that IR, designated to return. We felt like he needed this time to practice with us and this individual time and to strengthen those areas. But, you know, I think Milo said he squatted over 400 pounds three times, you know, so you're starting to see it come back. So that's exciting. How long away? I'm not sure. But making good progress.
Were you a big squat guy?
I had the chalk on the back, you know, logs.
You?
Oh, yeah.
Knee wraps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did it all.
I tell you, an interesting story. When I was in college at the University of Virginia, we had John Gamble, who was the strength and conditioning coach for the University of Virginia athletic programs in all sports. You know, back then you didn't have specialists. And he was the world record holder in the 275-pound class powerlifting. So I think it was bench, deadlift, and squat. And I'll never forget, I mean, the man, when he came out to work out, you know, when you got him agitated, saying, hey, John, you're kind of old and washed up. You can't lift weights anymore. He'd go, and all of a sudden he'd come back, and he's got those lifting shoes on. He's got those tights on that are like four sizes too small. And he gets under the bar, and he's got the chalk flying everywhere, and all of a sudden he's squatting 600-700 pounds.
Well, I had the two plates on each side, the cuffs, it was 235, and the knee wraps and the chalk and the lifting shoes, so a little bit different.
Did they have a big weightlifting program at North Dakota State?
Yeah, we had a great lifting program.
Yeah, I remember going all the way back to high school. My high school actually had a pretty strong weightlifting program in high school.
Yeah, that's where ours was different. We had the old universal gym.
Did you?
Yeah, you know, where you could sit and, you know, walk in a circle and get every lift in, you know, off of one piece of equipment.
All right, well, the other guy that I want to talk about, Jonathan Cyprian, last week had the calf. I think today he was limited. How's his progress?
Well, he'll be day-to-day, too. So, you know, that will be closer to a, you know, game-time decision. See, you know, he's progressing good. You know, he had the hand and the back and the strain. So a lot of those things are clearing up. So it's just a matter of how is he going to feel, and then the practice reps. You know, hopefully he can get some reps tomorrow.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll talk a little New England Patriots, and we'll talk to you. 1-800-355-NFL1 or locally 355-6351 is the call in here to the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
For season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. We'll open some phone lines up if you want to call in and talk to the head coach. 1-800-355-6351 or 355-6351, calling locally. This week, Gus, the New England Patriots Super Bowl champions. What a great challenge.
It is. You know, our players, you know, we said that we'd compete anywhere, anytime. Go to London, you know, go to the teams that we're playing on the road, high schools. This, it just happens to be New England. And it really is. You know, I think for us, we made a big step last week. And then, you know, that's the challenge this week now, is to grow even more this week and see where that takes us.
I remember when all, and you know, leading up to the season, the conversation with Deflategate was still ongoing. Would Tom Brady play? Would the suspension be lifted? You know, we had callers on Jaguars Thursday that always wanted to know what you guys thought about it. And I was like, look, if I were a player, I'd want him playing. You know, no different than back in the Bills' heyday with Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed and James Lofton and Bruce Smith. I mean, when you played the Buffalo Bills back then, you wanted to play the Buffalo Bills with everybody out there.
Yeah, because you got a chance to really grow through it and, you know, really find out where you are as a team. You know, I just think there's so many good things that can come from it with this opportunity. You know, how's our team going to handle it? How's the poise? How are we going to adjust to adversity? How, you know, can we go up there and play hard and fast and together? You know, all those things, which I have a lot of confidence in our team in doing that. So, you know, it's just a great challenge and a great opportunity.
All right, let's go talk to Tim this evening, who's in St. Augustine. Good evening, Tim. You're on with Jeff Loggeman and the head coach.
Hey, good evening, guys.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, quick question. You know, obviously, first off, congrats on a great win last week. But secondly, obviously, the X's and O's, you know, you worked on the details of those throughout the week. But with such a young team, how do you keep the nerves down, and how do you give them the confidence to know that this game's not too big for them? I mean, is that a challenge, or is that something that you kind of assume that they're professionals and they're able to handle?
Well, I don't think you assume it. It's a great question, and it's a challenge every week to look at where your team is. And I think a consistent message helps them, you know, and I think really that they learn to trust themselves and that they can just carry it over from the practice field to the game field. That's really how easy it is, you know, some of the same things that we see. And sometimes that heightened environment gets players, you know, to where they try to do too much, and that's where you lose them. And so I think last week was really a good barometer for us, and that players saw that, experienced it, and really learned from that.
This kind of goes to culture, doesn't it? I mean, because it's a mindset. It's not something that you just address this week. This is something that you and your staff work on all year.
Every opportunity that we have is a championship opportunity in our players' minds. You know, it's an opportunity to showcase our talents and to put together a game plan and go execute it. And, you know, it's really a challenge. Can we go be our best? And, you know, where you challenge them on things they can control, that's the part that I think that allows them to play freely. And that's really what we're after.
I was reading some of the transcripts from Bill Belichick's press conference earlier in the week, and he said, you know, we really need to get to know Jacksonville. He was asked the question about, what, you know, the preparation and when it starts, and he talked about, and I'm sure you guys are the same way, I'm just bringing it up on his end because he talked about it this week, that when you get the schedule and you know who you're going to play, the preparation doesn't start on Sunday night after the Dolphins game. The preparation started all the way back in the offseason, didn't it? For teams that you're not that familiar with.
Sure. You know, you take a, you know, we looked at Carolina, we looked at Miami, we looked at New England. So you look at teams and you kind of get a feel for their personality, what they like to do.
And when did that start?
Well, it starts, you know, in your offseason. You know, there's a lot of time is spent on the draft and free agency. But the time that you can get together, you know, you might look ahead. But you're also doing a lot with your team as well. So there is some time. But, you know, the majority of the game planning comes up the week before.
Game plan, but personnel and evaluation of scheme, I mean, that can happen in May, right?
Well, sure. You know, it's just like if they looked at our team, you know, the depth chart looks a lot different maybe, you know, this week than what they were preparing for. So you have to be able to adjust based on personnel. So things change, and you've got to be able to adjust. But, you know, the foundations, the, you know, the formulating, the base game plan, things that, you know, you look at, I mean, those all things come into play.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, I want to see what kind of input a couple coaches on your staff or aid they may be able to provide in this week's matchup against the New England Patriots, and we'll talk about that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And we are rolling along right here on the Gus Bradley Show, and let's go ahead and take Andrew up. My cousin Andrew called Saturday morning on the outdoor show and said, I'm going to be calling in the Gus Bradley Show. And I said, Andrew, call, you're first in line. And Andrew, here you are, first in line here on the Gus Bradley Show.
I appreciate it, Lon. I had such an outstanding time. At the end of the game, my son hugged me, and a Miami Dolphin fan looked at me and just smiled. And I said, it's been a long time, and it's a lot more coming. And I was really proud. I got goosebumps. And one of the things I noticed, it was a battle of wills out there, and we, based on the coaching, had the best will. I mean, I can't imagine doing that week after week. It is intense, and that's the first time I've noticed it, and I think it goes down to coaching.
Well, I don't know about that. It's, you know, the players have such a big part of it, but I appreciate those that compliment, Andrew. But really, I mean, if you came in and you went to practice on Wednesday and you saw the players and just how tired and sore and beat up they were, I think your appreciation would grow even more for them because, as you know, Logs, that's a physical game, man. It is a physical game, and especially a game like that, the intensity and the demands that the game places on your body. So you appreciate it, but I'd have to deflect a lot of it to those guys.
All right, Andrew, got anything else?
Well, I can tell you this. I'm going to be coming back week after week. I'm so proud of this team and the steadfastness of each one of them to buy in what you got going. And Logs for the pride. Woo!
Logs.
I'd let Andrew in on that. I love Andrew. He's a passionate Jaguars fan, and that's the way he should be. Now, when you talk about players coming back, because I know that your comments yesterday is that we had a good practice, it wasn't great. I mean, that was really due in large part because of the demands of a very physical and hot game.
Yeah, I think, you know, we try to always be real, you know, with our players, and that was the message. It was good, it was solid, we executed, but not a lot of energy in the beginning. But you know what, Logs, as practice picked up, and then it started getting a team run, and mm-hmm. you just saw the energy come back. So these guys are amazing that way. But, you know, I appreciate it at you know, from that time on. But, you know, it's understandable.
From when I mentioned before we went to a break, you got a couple coaches on your staff, and Doug Marrone, who's your assistant head coach, offensive line coach, and Nathaniel Hackett, your quarterback's coach. They obviously spent the last 2 years up in Buffalo and faced the New England Patriots twice a year. Does that experience help in preparation for the New England Patriots and say, hey, we got some coaches here that have coached against them and have watched a lot of film on the New England Patriots?
Oh, I without a doubt it helps. You know, the guys, you always draw from people's experiences, and those guys have had some experiences, you know, playing in New England and you know what it's about, and you know maybe how they attacked it or how they were attacked and kind of the philosophy. All those experiences are important to draw from.
All right, let's go bring up Joel this evening. Good evening, Joel.
Yes. Great. Thanks for answering my question. I got one comment, and then I got one question.
Okay. Go ahead, Joel.
My question is that since everybody's picking us to lose, obviously, hot team, I hope everybody goes out there and kind of plays with maybe some fake punts or something, kind of throw everything at them since it doesn't really seem like you've got a lot to lose. But my question is, against the Miami, in short yardage situations, it seemed like TJ wasn't really getting through. The line wasn't really giving him much blocking. Like, he was making moves in the backfield, and we weren't converting. Do you have any plans to kind of maybe let Blake roll out and maybe use his legs a little bit, because he is an athletic guy? You got any plans for that this week?
Go ahead, give your game plan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that short yardage play was a critical time in the game. You know, we had some penetration. They had some penetration.
There was Rashad Jones coming off the edge of the goal line. Is that the one you're talking
about?
No,
there's and the other one on the 50 in midfield. It's third and one. We lost some yardage on it. So, you know, those things, I think they did a nice job. They stunned him. They made a play. And, you know, we'll learn from it. And, you know, we'll continue to work on that part of it. And, you know, you have your whole playbook open, Joel, you're right. So, you know, there's some things just like the pass to Tyson. You know, I think there's some things that you got to do to, you know, change up some of the percentages. And
did Tyson get a game ball for that? I mean, it's a defensive lineman catching a defensive tackle or end, catching a pass in the flat. And not only did he catch it clean, I mean, he did a nice job faking the block, getting out in the route, catching the ball.
He did. Protecting the ball. Yeah. I mean,
high
he had to prove that now.
Yeah.
He had to prove it in practice. He had to catch some balls and show us that he had a high and tight mentality. But the stiff arm, you know, that's one thing that I hadn't seen in practice. So, no, it was great. It was great. Critical, you know, play, you know, in the game and for him to, you know, catch it and, again, just doing things he did in practice.
All right, to follow up on Joel's thing about short yardage, Toby Gerhart, who was inactive the first two games of the season, was on the practice report today as practicing full, I believe. And in the preseason, he was so good in short yardage. That, with the injury to Darnard Robinson, boy, that could be nice to have him back.
Right. You know, we try to utilize all our back skill set. You know, and I think sometimes you think Toby is short yardage back, but he just gives a different style on first and second down, too. So, you know, all those backs, we'll look to utilize them in certain situations, and we understand the different styles that they provide for us.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back on the other side. Rob Gronkowski, a.k.a. the Gronk, will talk a little bit about him with the head coach right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Gus Bradley alongside the lead man here, Jeff Loggeman, but it's your show. Yeah, I'm the lead man. I'm the lead man. If I take us in and out of breaks, I get to be
Tone,
called the lead man.
Tone, what do you think
man.
About that? Get on the mic
is
over here.
Is that okay?
No.
Hey. But it is called the Gus Bradley Show. I have to a little humility here.
How about a little humility by you?
And that's Pacelli bringing me back down. Thank you, Tony. Rob Gronkowski, a.k.a. the Gronk. How good is he?
Wow. I mean, where to start with him? I mean, first of all, let's talk about his blocking. He does a good job at the point of attack. So he can block, and then his ability to provide a mismatch. I mean, how do you match up with him? Do you use a safety, a corner? You know, a linebacker.
Is anybody a good matchup?
Well, it's tough. He uses his body so well. And, you know, and Tom is such a good – does such a good job of recognizing coverages that if he sees you in man, he can check to a certain route to play off your leverage and if you are in man. So he does a good job of it. But, yeah, very, very, very talented. I don't know if you can go in there saying, you know what, he's not going to have a catch after we're done with him. You know, he's proven it over time. And just very talented. Find him in all areas of the field, critical situations, and in the red zone.
I remember reading Rex Ryan, some of his quotes leading up to the Patriots game. He was like, hey, you know, it's not like you can say we're going to put Kong on him, King Kong. You know, and he's like, oh, well, we can't say, hey, Kong, you cover Gronk. You know, I mean, he's that good.
Yeah, he is. He is. And I think, you know, you look at a lot of your coverages and you try to find out, you know, over film watching and film studying, you know, how they place him and where they place him, and you come up with it's all over the place. He could line up anywhere on the field based on formation. So, you know, he's tough. First, you got to find where he is, and then, you know, understand the concepts I like to do when he is certain spots.
If Rob Gronkowski weren't in the game, wouldn't it be nice? I mean, as far as game planning wise, because, I mean, when you talk about a Rob Gronkowski and you talk about them lining him up at so many different locations – Does that change your approach on a play-by-play basis as a defensive coordinator? Does he dictate sometimes what you can and can't do?
Well, I mean, you just said that we like going against Tom Brady.
I know that. I mean, yeah, you do. But at the same time, I mean, but is he that? Because, you know, there's through the years, there's always players that you game plan for.
Right.
And there's some that you say, okay, we're going to do what we do just because of this player. It doesn't mean we're going to change who we are or what we do. And there's some players in the league that can actually change the game plan that you have to literally account for.
Well, I think there's players in the game that create longer discussions. Let's put it that way. And he's one of them. And, you know, again, it's based on personnel that they have on the field and how they utilize them. You know, as far as accounting for the number of targets, he's very, very high in their offense. And I can see why. There's great trust between the both of them. They played a long time with each other, and so they understand how each other thinks, and it allows for great execution.
The one thing that I think I really appreciate about Tom Brady is that when you got such a great player like Rob Gronkowski, he doesn't try to force it to him. You know, he does a great job of distributing the ball. If Rob Gronkowski's open, okay, the ball's going to Rob. If Rob's got a chance at a 50-50 ball and he feels good about the matchup, he's going to throw it that way. But if not, he's going to find Julian Edelman, he's going to find Danny Amendola, or he's going to find this new running back that they have, Deion Lewis. I mean, Tom does not care.
No, I think they have certain plays that he just goes through his progression, and then he has some plays that he can check to based on the coverage. And then they have, just like everybody else, certain plays that are designed for certain players. And sometimes those show up in critical times, and like I said, and even in the red zone. So, you know, they're all going to get their touches.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll talk more about the New England Patriots right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show with me, Jeff Loggeman, and the lead dog, Gus Bradley, the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did I get it right that time?
No, we're both dogs. How about that?
We're both dogs. We'll just leave it at that. With the New England Patriots, when you play them, so many times people always want to accomplish the goal of possessing the ball on offense to keep the ball out of Tom Brady's hands. Is that always the plan when you face the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, is to keep the ball out of his hands?
Well, I think it's, you know, a formula. You look at it and you say, here's a team that scores a lot of points, and they can score a lot of points, and so you don't want them to have the ball as much, you know, to have those opportunities. So I think, you know, every team goes in there and says, hey, we'd love to control the time of possession.
And then convert first downs and hopefully have points at the end of that.
Yeah, that's right.
And then defensively, because Tom Brady is incredibly patient, he's happy to take what you're going to give him. He's a great commander on the field. Tackling has to be at a premium against the Patriots, because a lot of those wide receivers that they have, Amendola or Julian Edelman, those are guys that are great run after the catch and fight for the extra yards. It's almost like a controlled passing attack, and then they expect to get the big play after the catch a lot of times.
That is. He can recognize if there's a mismatch and go deep, but his patience. And he'll be patient all the way down the field if he needs to be. And but you're right. I think that's what's different with the receivers. They are yards after, you know, after catch. You don't see him much run flat routes and then head out of bounds. They're going to cut back against the grain. Anything to try to get those extra yards and try to get explosive plays. And they're very aggressive.
Do you have any experience, or have you had an opportunity to speak with Bill Belichick at all in the last couple of years?
No, you know what? At the owner's meeting, but it wasn't for a very long period of time.
Yeah. I just, you know, so much is talked about with him, and there's, I guess, a little bit of a cloud of mystery that kind of surrounds him, but great success as a head coach. 4 Super Bowls and 2 other times he was in a Super Bowl and didn't win. Losses to the New York Giants, but I was just curious because, you know, a lot of people seem to have a curiosity about that guy.
Right. All my dealings with them, I mean, at the owners' meetings, it was a short period of time, but, you know, we sit across the table from each other at the owners' meetings. He's been unbelievable. Unbelievable to me. So, you know, I think people have different perceptions how he is maybe in this press conference or how he handles things, but he's always been great, very respectful.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we'll wrap it up and kind of look ahead to the New England Patriots once again right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. And we spend so much time talking about Tom Brady, the New England Patriots, and their offense. We haven't spent any time talking about their defense in this last segment here. There's a couple players from watching the film that stand out. Jamie Collins, Chandler Jones. And Jamie Collins is an outside linebacker, kind of an auto type. And then Chandler Jones, defensive end, and then Dante Hightower, a linebacker. Three very talented players. In their defense, are those guys, with the absence of some frontline guys, the guys in the middle, is it imperative that those guys are contained or blocked when you face them?
They are. You know, I think you look at their physical traits first, and you say a guy like Jamie Collins, you know, he's, what, 6'3", 250 pounds, really good length, stout. You know, and he plays behind the ball. We say he's like an auto type, and he would be, but he plays behind the ball for them. So, you know, him along with Mayo and Hightower, those are all big physical type linebackers.
Were you surprised when Vince Wilfork, they allowed him to leave and go to the Houston Texans, or were you upset because he's in a division now?
I don't know. I didn't look at too much like that, but, you know, New England, you know, as long as we're talking about New England, they do a good job, you know, with their personnel, changing guys out, giving younger guys in there. You know, when you got a quarterback like that and he takes a big part of your salary cap, you got to make tough decisions. And so I'm sure they wish they had him, but they also know, to you know, the organization decisions they have to make, you know, sometimes you're going to lose some guys.
Well, when you talk about organizational decisions, I mean, besides Vince Wilfork, I mean, you looked at their secondary last year. They had Darrell Revis, Brandon Brown, who you know very well, and Kyle Arrington. I mean, three guys in the secondary that are no longer there, and now they have Malcolm Butler, Terrell Brown, Patrick Chung, who's back for a second tour of duty, and a guy that I know you are highly interested in, and Devin McCourty, the safety.
Yeah, you know what? And they do very good things back there. Malcolm Butler, we all know about him, you know. And
big pick in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and he does a great job as a cover corner. McCourty does a great job. You know, they play some single safety middle, so he's got to have great range, and that's what he does. So, yeah, this is our overall defense. They've got some very good skilled players and then some guys that, you know, bring some issues as far as their physical traits.
And when you go to New England, and I know as a coach you always have – certain things that are kind of, I guess you could say, the focal points of a game, you know, whether it be, you know, control, you know, emotion, deal with the noise. What are the main things that you emphasize to your team going on its first road game of the year?
Well, you know, you gain some experience, and then you learn from those experiences and use those experiences in all games. And then I think for our players to learn, you know, I trust them, and they need to trust themselves. And our coaches trust them, you know, and to go up there and play with that mindset and to be aggressive and you know, and do what we do. And you know, there'll be some change-ups. There'll be some things offensively, defensively. But you know, for the most part, you know, that's what I'm looking to see from our team, is to go up there in a heightened environment and execute to the best of our ability.
Yeah, I'm sure as a coach, I mean, with the number of players that are on the injury report, you're probably looking forward to the next couple of days to see exactly – who you can play.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do, so you can make decisions based on that. But you know, we do. We have, you know, some guys that have shown that they can step up. And if those guys aren't available, then those guys will step up. And then we go.
If you look at one guy that you want to see take another step, I mean, besides everybody, I mean, you always want everybody to take a step as a team. But one guy that you think is starting to turn the corner, that you think is ready to take the next step to help your football team, who would it be?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, one of the guys that pops up is, you know, I'm pulling for is Skuda. You know, I think what he does for us, he plays outside linebacker, then he's a rusher, and then he's on special teams, and does so much for our team. Such a big factor for us, and so highly respected that, you know, I'd like to see him have some success as a rusher and linebacker and you know, see really good things happen for him. I just, you know, I love his effort and his whole mentality.
The other guy that I'm excited to watch, because if there was ever a game that was, I guess you could say, tailor-made to his skill set, is Telvin Smith, who we're actually going to have on your television show, the Gus Bradley Show. Well, when you're playing the New England Patriots, and as much as they like to play in space, linebackers that have speed like Telvin, Well, that's right up his alley.
Well, I mean, that's a hard question he asked, because you're excited for all of them. You know, you can't wait to see them, and they're excited. So it'll be a great opportunity.
All right, Gus, enjoyed it, and good luck against the New England Patriots.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll talk to everybody same time, same place, right here on the Gus Bradley Show next week.